I've been preaching a sermon series here. I just started last Sunday. We called last Sunday Sin Sunday. And so we just had some fun with it, and we talked about what it meant to be sent. And I really talked about how we are sent to declare His glory among the nations. And we're called to all people to declare His glory. And I really majored on the aspect of worship. We go forth because not all nations worship Him. And I know that's a funny concept, but when we think about it, the greatest thing we could do is worship Him. And so we all are sent forth to worship. But this week I want to talk about what it actually means to be sent. And there's three things that I've been saying for the past few months that just been rolling off my tongue. I've not had them written down until now. But people say, what kind of church are you guys? And three things will come off my tongue like that. Or what kind of church are you guys planning? These three things just roll off. And so I believe they're biblical, and I want to show them to you this morning. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power. Read this with me. It's a very well-known passage. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This was Jesus's. How many believe last words are important? We all want to hear the last words someone says before they breathe their last breath. Well, these were some of the last words Jesus spoke before He left earth. And I believe they're of utmost importance. And He said, you guys are going to go and you're going to receive power. And then after that, you're going to be sent out as witnesses. And we can see this as a paradigm, sent as witnesses into your local city, Jerusalem. And then into the local county or region, Judea. And then you're going to cross ethnic barriers and go to some people who are ethnically different from you, Samaria. And then finally, you're going to go to the very ends of the earth and preach the gospel. Amen? Surrounding areas, ethnically different areas, and then to the very ends of the earth. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I send you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. The church is not to be a come and sit experience. That's so good, I'm going to say it to this side of the church. The church is not to be a come and sit experience. It's to be a come, be filled, and go out experience. It's to be a sent experience. In fact, the ancient Nicene Creed from 325, when the fathers of the church gathered in 325 in Nicaea, they came up with this Nicene Creed. And many of you maybe quoted it if you grew up in more liturgical churches. But one part of that creed says, we are one holy apostolic church. We are one holy Catholic, but Catholic with little c, which means worldwide. We are one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And when we think of that term apostolic, we often think, well, that means it was founded upon the work of the apostles, which it was. Ephesians 2:20, founded upon the apostles and prophets, the church was. But the term apostolic means more than just referring to foundations. The word apostolic in the original language actually means to go or to be sent. An apostle is one who has been sent out. And so if we say the church universal is apostolic, then that means all of us are sent in one form or fashion. All of us are sent in one form or fashion. I think we've messed things up, and I'm going to say it. I think we've messed things up, and we've made maybe the preacher the most important person in the church. And that's not true. The most important person to me this morning in the church, I think, is the parking lot attendants. Why is that? Because they're greeting people for Jesus, and they're smiling and welcoming people into what God has for them. And statistics say that a person will determine whether they'll return to your church within 7 minutes of arriving. And 4 to 5 minutes of that seven, probably on average, is spent, guess where? So if we're pulling in late and we're getting mad because a visitor has taken our spot, shame on us. Or if we come and there's a visitor in my seat in church, you should thank the Lord that a visitor's in your seat in church. I've seen places that have actually, where folks have actually come in and asked people to get up and get visitors to get out of their seat because it's theirs. And I said, what are you talking about, man? Someone told me this in a church I pastored. I said, no, that's not their seat. He said, no, pastor, it's their seat. I said, it's not their seat. He said, no, there's actually a name tag in brass dedicated to their family on the pew. You know what I wanted to do? I want to take a knife and pop out every one of them brass name tags that I could. Yeah, it's important that we give, but it ain't so important that we give that we shut out somebody who needs the gospel. Come on, I think we're giving not to set up a shrine for saints. I think we're giving so people can come in and get saved. I'm getting mean already, and we're only a few minutes into this. Somebody shout amen. Amen. So what is the church? I think the church is three things. To be sent means three things, and this defines us. This is what's been rolling off my tongue. I'm going to go through these in order. Number one, I think it means we are a church of power. A sent person is a person who moves in Holy Spirit power. A sent person moves in power. Acts 1:8. He said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So if we look at it in context, we can't separate the Spirit coming and empowering from going out and being a witness. And I believe if we separate those two things, we get things really messed up. Because if we go out and have no power, we don't have the authority and umph it takes really to impact the world. But if we stay within our four walls and just have power, we get weird. Let me roll through that again. If we go out and have no power, we're not going to accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish. But if we stay here and just hold all the power up to ourselves, we get really weird. The perfect combination is going out and using the power. It's like, I just had this thought. It's like I go to the gas station and I drive my car home and I pull it into the garage and I just sit there and rev the engine. I go nowhere and I create a lot of smoke, but if I'm not careful, it'll kill me. That'll preach. I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But if I fill up the tank, guess what that car is designed to do? It's designed to go, man. You are built not to sit. You are built to go. God created you with that go in your spirit that you can go and help someone. Can somebody shout amen? That term in the original Greek is the term dunamis, power. You shall receive dunamis. You shall receive power. Etymologically, it's where the term dynamite developed from the Greek language into the English. So it means this explosion, this power, this force. And as I looked it up in the Greek lexicons, it has really two poles to this definition. Number one is it's the power to accomplish tasks for God. But on the other hand, it's the power to bring us unto holiness. So it's both the power to do miracle signs and wonders. It's used for miracle signs and wonders. It's the power to accomplish miracles and signs and wonders, but also it's the power to bring us unto holiness. And again, those two belong together, not separated. Acts chapter 4, verse 7, when Peter and John raised the lame man up from his crippled state, they were brought before the Jewish authorities, and the Jewish authorities said, by what power or by what name have you done these things? By what dunamis Have you done these things? And of course, those things were done in the name of Jesus, and the apostles got to testify. But the people were curious as to what kind of power is behind your actions. Then in Romans chapter 15, Paul said, this is what my ministry looked like. It was in mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem, as far as Illyricum, I have preached the gospel of Christ to you. And to him, the gospel wasn't void of power. No, he said, I preached it in mighty signs and wonders. Amen? So the church is to be a church of power, sent forth in power to reach people who need the power of God in their lives. And a lot of people think, well, no, we've come into the modern age, Hans, or the postmodern age, or the post-Christian age, and now we don't really, these things are antiquated, and these meetings with power and miracles and all that, they aren't wanted anymore, they aren't needed anymore, it's not necessary. I tend to disagree. Because I was in a meeting 2 years ago with Ron Carpenter Jr., a guy who pastors, at least did pastor, the largest church in our movement, and he told a story of his church. One day he went out to his church, and he's about my age, so he looked at his church and he said, how many of you guys are my age or older? And he said, 80% of the crowd raised their hands. And he said, I realized, oh no, I have a problem. That is, all the young people are dying out in my church. So he said, I ask another question, how many of you guys will help me win the next generation? And of course the church was all excited, and they're clapping and cheering. So he said the next Sunday, or the next week, he had a bulldozer in there wrecking out the pulpit and all that to just change it. Spent like $1 million in lights. Because he said, I'm going to reach this next generation and do what? Well, through a few years' time, he filled it up with millennials. Filled it up. I mean, it's really an amazing story. So we asked him a couple questions, and I asked him, I said, what happened to your older people or the people who are your age and older? He said, 80% of them left. And I said, well, what about the power of God? What about the Holy Spirit? And he said, that's one thing I said I would never compromise. And he said, I believe this generation is more receptive and more in need of the power of God than any we've ever seen. Because if you watch Netflix or read the current novel series, it often majors upon the supernatural or the freakish, the living, the walking dead, or the vampires from Washington State, or the witches of whatever. It's all centered, people are fascinated and curious about the supernatural. Well, you know what? You and I have the answer to that. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in our church. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You don't need a fortune teller to determine your future. You need to get with a Holy Ghost praying saint who can pray you into your future. You don't need a Ouija board to determine some word or something. No, 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 no. I have the word. Can somebody say amen? You don't have to get high. I serve, and this is cheesy, but I serve the Most High. Come on. We're on the greatest trip ever, man. Am I preaching truth or not? We have the, do we not have some authority and some power? We talk about it. Well, let's be that. Let's be it to the world. Let's be that. We are to be a people sent forth in power. Second thing that just comes off my tongue and rolls out of me when I talk about being sent is that is we're sent on mission. As a church, we're sent on mission. We're to be soul winners. We're to be soul winners. We used to laugh about a church of four, us four and no more. I don't want to be a church of four and no more. I want to have a fluid church that is open to winning the lost and is doing everything we can for the community. Hallelujah. Just last week, our church staff and some other volunteers from our church went to Coast Guard Day. And they went out there and handed out ice cream cones all day long to the Coast Guard and to the military. And it was just a great experience. And my daughter said, the mayor came up to her. And she said, well, hi, I'm the mayor. And they're like, well, we're from Fountain of Life Church. She said, hey, the entire town is talking about your church. That's what I'm talking about. And it's not for our recognition. I want to make Jesus famous. I want to lift up Jesus. I want to impact the community. I want our church to be so on mission that if we're not here, this place is a lot worse place to be if we're not here. We're on mission. We are on mission. If you look back in the beginning of the Pentecostal movement at the Azusa Street Revival in California in 1906 era, they went about 3 years in continual revival. But it wasn't just about signs and wonders, though they had those. It wasn't just about miracles, though they had those. It wasn't just about people speaking in tongues and prophetic words, though they had those. What it really became about was people being sent out of there all over the globe to preach the gospel. There were many great movements that came out of those revival meetings. I want it to be said one day. Is this too audacious? I want it to be said one day. There was a movement in northeastern North Carolina. And if Jesus tarries 50 years from now, there's still people preaching the gospel. And stuff has exploded because of the work that we've been doing here. Is that too bold? Is that too bold to ask? The Spirit comes to empower us, and it sends us out on mission. It's about us coming and then us going. Church for too long has been designed for sitters. And I've been part of the problem. I'll just confess. I've been reworked recently, man, and God's still doing a work here, but I just feel like even I've been reprocessing theological education and how we've really trained people to come in and take care of Christians and teach Christians and design programs for Christians and build great buildings for Christians. And I am one. But while we've been focused on ourselves doing that kind of work, the nation has gone to hell in a handbasket. Why do I say that? I heard a statistic the other day that shook me to the bone. And that is that 82% of people in America no longer attend church. 82%. Church that only leaves 18%. And so we've been, and somebody said, well, it's because the church is so corrupt or the church is so modern. No, it's not. That's ridiculous. I've been in the church for over 30 years. And man, I've been under preachers that preached everything, preached heaven sweet and hell hot and Bible back to forth and prayed and fasted. And Jackie and I were talking about the folks we came out of and the group we came, man, if they prayed for you, you better be ready to stay all night. Jackie said her aunt would come and she'd just bring her bags. And she lived in the same county. But she'd come and stay 2 or 3 nights. Ruby had a lady one time, her husband brought her, she had breast cancer, wasn't it, Ruby? And dropped her at Ruby's door. He said, I'll be back after when she's healed. Well, you know what? How many days did it take, Ruby? Took 3 days. She came back. Lady was healed. Glory to God. So I don't think the church has gone. In some circles, sure, the church is compromised. In some circles, sure, the church is giving into the spirit of the world. I think the problem has been we've not been on mission. We've been concerned about building our own kingdoms so we can satisfy church people who have their own preferences and color of carpet and songs and clothes they want to wear. And we've let the world go to hell right in our back door. But bless God, the rest of my life, I guarantee you, I'm going to give it everything I have to seeing every lost person won anywhere in my radius. I'm going to give it everything I have. Because there's some people who need Jesus. They may look different than us. They may talk different than us. That's okay. I don't care. I got something they need. Hallelujah. We got something they need really bad. You know, in the end times, there's something that we've never connected to the end times. And it just, some guy helped me connect this recently. And that is, if you look into the New Testament, the book of Acts, there's a term for sorcery used by Simon the Sorcerer. And that is the term pharmakeia in Greek. And the term pharmakeia in Greek, of course, the etymology of that is we developed the modern term pharmacy or pharmaceutical. And there's something connected to the sorcery explosion in the end days and the explosion of drug abuse. Could it be, just asking a question, could it be that the drug epidemic, every town I go in and preach in, every city I go in and preach in has an epidemic that the government doesn't know what to do with. The success rate for a drug rehab program in the United States is below 8%. Could it be it is a sign that we're living in the last days? But you and I sit here with the keys. How many drug, no raising of hands. How many of you are ex-drug addicts? Ex-alcoholics? Come on, there's a lot of people in this room. A lot of people in this church. And I've heard your testimonies. And you never told me, man, I got on Suboxone or methadone. And man, it helped me. Never heard that testimony once. Or I went through psychotherapy, and I'm not against psychologists. I went, I've never heard that once in church. There's always been an encounter with a power, something of power, a higher power, someone encountering a higher power, and that person gets completely freed up and set free because of Jesus. Amen. You and I have the answer. So missions, I'm into mission trips. We have teams, a team right now in Guatemala, a team last week in Ecuador, a team's going to Nepal. I'm into that. I pray it explodes in this church. I pray that we're doing multiple trips a year. I do trips. I do them. Love it. Talking to a guy yesterday about next year, maybe trying to figure out my calendar, how I can get back to Africa or how I can get to Nepal or whatever I'm going to do. I don't know. Love it. So don't take this wrong. But if we only do mission 1 week out of 52 when we go overseas, then we failed somewhere. We should be on mission 52 weeks out of the year. And when we go overseas, it's like a highlight, man. It's like we're helping somebody, but it's flowing out of a spirit that's doing this all year long. Y'all still love me? Give me a hand wave there. So the church that sent is a church sent in power. The church that sent is a church sent on mission. And the final thing is, and let's just get a little deeper since we're getting it all out this morning. A church that sent is a church that's sent to all people. It means it's multi-ethnic. A sent church goes to everyone. Because God has come to rescue all peoples, whether black, yellow, red, white, green, purple. God has sent us to reach all people. Now, you may be sent to a certain family member. You may be sent to a certain group of folks. But the church corporately is sent to all the nations. I think church should look like, this is just my dream, that church should look like on earth what it looks like in heaven. That church should look like on earth what it looks like in heaven. That it should be that diverse. Amen? That at the great banqueting table of the church is a little bit of curry. And it's not always just fried chicken and barbecue. But you have some pinto beans and cornbread people from the Appalachian Mountains on the end. And then we have some Cholula spice and some burritos at the table. And then we have some cassava root at the table. Then we have some boring European food at the table. Come on! The table is a mixture of great stuff. This is the family of God. Amen? If we only want people like us, we're somehow not accomplishing the purpose of God. And if we're afraid of people who aren't like us, then you need to get out of your house a little bit more and get some friends who aren't like you. I'm wild this morning. Y'all love me and just pray for me. And I think the multi-ethnic church is also a multi-generational church. Are you into youth pastor? Oh, absolutely. But let them stay in the back room, please. Or what about the children? Yeah, we need some babysitters. No, 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 I'm going to change, I'm going to challenge your mind right now. The youth church is the church. The children's church is the church. What if we said it like this? We are a children's church. What if we said it like this? We are a youth church. Not just have a youth group. Because I heard another statistic the other day that really rocked my world. And that was that now, you know, we used to hear these statistics that most people come to Christ by the time they're 16 or 18. I heard one the other day that the majority of people become Christians by the time they're 8 years old. By the time they're 8 years old. So I went to Stacy Hickman and I said, you go tell Alan Meads that when budget time rolls around, you need a little bit of love. A church that has no children and youth is a dead church already. It's already dead. It's already coded. It's gone. It's just a matter of excruciating time period until that thing's finished. Amen? So I'm telling you, we need to be serious about our youth. We need to be serious about our kids. We need to be serious about other people outside this church. This church, we had a phrase when we built this building. We said we're building this church for the community. And we've held to that. If you try to rent this church, we have a lot of rules in the renting this facility. But if you're the local police or fire departments or some kind of, we will work with you like crazy because we want you here and we want this church to be connected to our community. We believe that much in the community. And we want to open the doors wide open to this community. So this isn't just about us sitting here. It's about us blessing this entire area so that if Fountain of Life was here no more, it would be missed in a terrible way. We're built to run, we're built to go, we're built for the nations, we're built for the youth, we're built for the children, we're built for other ethnic groups, we're built to get outside the four walls. This is only a meeting place. We come together on Sundays and we rev it up, preach the word, celebrate what God is doing so we can go back out and take the world by storm. Back in the day, there used to be churches that actually had signs when you left the parking lot. And the sign said, you are now entering the mission field. I kind of like that because it puts us in mind that when we leave here, we're going on mission and going to reach somebody. So what's this look like? Well, so we are first of all sent in the Spirit. We're people of the Spirit. Secondly of all, we're sent on mission. We're sent to do something. We're not sent to sit. And then finally, we are sent to reach all people, all ethnic groups. Whoever God leads us to, that's who we're called to reach. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, folks, my three recent trips, I went overseas. Two of them, one was to the Middle East. The other two were to Africa. And I've never met such nice people in all my life. Never met such people so hungry for the gospel. Before, I've been in Latin America. Never met such nice people in all my life. Such people hungry for the gospel. Went up in the mountains of El Salvador in no man's land, and the people, when they saw us, they kids ran out into the dirt streets and just poured out just to see us and just to be nice to us. I've been in the jungles of South America, never met such nice people in all my life. I sang one night in a church, and they were looking in through the, they didn't have glasses for windows, they just had a cutout in the concrete, and they were looking in the sides of the concrete and looking at me, and I played an old rusty guitar they had and sang a song, and I went outside, and the people were like, man, they had no electricity. They were in an Indian village. They said, man, you sing, man, like the Kenny Rogers, man. I said, how do you know Kenny Rogers in a South American village like this? I've been to Romania, preached under a light bulb to a gypsies in a gypsy village. You know how hungry those people were? They waited hours on us to get there, seated in church, silent until we arrived. I've been in India, man, hungry for Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I get to America. Well, Pastor, I can't come for the next 7 Sundays because we have softball, or I got a place to the beach I got to go to, man. Man, it burns me up. I'll be honest with you. When the world is starving for the gospel and we're sitting here fat and sassy, not physically, spiritually, you got to go, man. You got to go. I'm going to close with this because I've burned you up enough today. I'm going to close with this. I hope I'm challenging you. It's what I'm doing. I love you, and I'm challenging you. I was at a church recently preaching, and the worship leader, such a nice guy. And he was like a really thin, in shape guy. Kind of like you. And I got to talking to him, and he said, I used to weigh like 100 pounds more or something. I thought, wow, dude. He said, yeah, I'm like participating in marathons and triathlons. And I'm like, you go, man. So when I meet someone like that, I'm curious. I said, well, how did you do it? He said, 2 things. Move and push the plate back. I think this will preach. If you want to say it with me, move. Push the plate back. As Christians, we want to sit and give me every Bible study and everything that I can eat on. Why? Because I'm going to go home and sit so I can come back and we can do this all over again. And we're getting our triglycerides in the spirit realm. We're off the charts. Because we're not moving, pushing the plate back, and using what we have. I just got 2 good sermons up here right preaching today. Come on. Sometimes push the plate back. Go pray for somebody. Go talk to someone. You know how important that is? You have people in your life. And I said this in the early service. I'll say it now. But when you're leading someone to Christ, you may not be the person who actually says the salvation prayer with them. And that's okay. Bill Hybels used this illustration years ago that leading someone to Christ is like a chain that has links in it, like a logging chain. And those links, you know, you're linked together in a chain, and you might be one of those links. You could be the one who comes up and tells your friend, hey man, have you ever thought about going to church? I'd love to invite you sometime with me. You know, statistics show if you just invite someone to church, the majority of people just say yes. They're just waiting on someone to invite them. Will you go to church? That might be that one link. Then maybe there's another link where you're working with this guy. And he's going through a difficult time in his family. And you're like, hey, man, I realize you haven't been yourself. Is there something I could pray for you about? Would you mind if we pray right now? And you just pray. You're another link. And then I believe there's going to come a final link. Maybe you're that link when you say, hey, have you ever prayed and asked Jesus into your heart? I'd love to pray with you, man. If you're ready to make that step, I'd love to be the one to just pray with you right now as you ask the Lord into your heart. So I gave this illustration. And after church, I'm walking into the foyer and I saw Ken Dale holding up the wall. And Ken looked at me and he said, you know what that last link is? That's the hook. Because most chains end with a hook. He said, that's a hook where you got them. I was like, thank you, my brother. That'll preach. That's the 3rd sermon for today. I'm telling you. You're a link in, think about that when you see someone at Walmart or you're working with someone. You're a link in that chain, bringing someone in to the kingdom. Let's all stand. Thank you guys for listening to me. I feel so amped up right now and just energized over what God is doing. Father, we thank you. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you're doing today. God, I've stirred and I've prodded and I've provoked people today. And I just pray that they receive it with the right spirit. And they go out of here and they really begin to ask, what can I do? How can I be a part? What can I do in Jesus' name? want every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you could say, Hans, what you preached today spoke to me? I want to be a sent one. Come on, let me see your hands if that's you. This should be all over this place. I want to be one sent out. Thank you, guys, all over this church. I want to be a sent one. Thank you. Well, I'm going to pray for you. I want to ask one other question. How many of you in here today could say, Pastor Hans, I'm not where I should be with the Lord. I'm not serving Jesus as I should. But man, I want to get it right today. I want to pray with you right now and get this thing right. If you're in here, let me see your hands. Thank you, guys. Wow, thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you, guys. I want to get this thing right before I leave here. Well, maybe there's one or two more of you. I want to get it right. I'm going to pray in reverse order. We're going to pray, first of all, for you who want to get it right with the Lord and surrender your life to Him. Then next, we're going to pray for everybody who wants to be on mission. And I'm going to ask that you be bold enough to just say it out loud and pray it with me. And guess what? We're going to pray with you as a congregation. We're going to come and lift our voices with you, carry you across the finish line. Okay? Everybody praying with me. Father in heaven, I repent of all my sin. I want to be right with you, Lord. Cleanse me from all sin. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Give me a new life. You promised it in Scripture. You said your yoke was easy. And your burden was light. And that if I'm in you, I am a new creation. So I surrender all. And I give it to you, Jesus. And everybody can say amen. Now, Father, I pray for all those who want to be sent. Come on, raise your hands and pray this with me. Father, I surrender to your will in my life. Send me where you will. Help me to go. Help me to be faithful. And today I say yes in the name of Jesus. Now let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. You know, about 8 people raised their hands with us to accept the Lord or to get their lives right, get their heart right with Christ. I want to say congratulations. Greatest decision of your life. Come on. Greatest decision of your life. I want to ask you just to do something. Come back to church. Get under teaching. Get under this worship. Go to the Welcome Center and just say, hey, man, I just accepted Christ. Pastor said there's a package there for me. And there is. There's going to be a bag. And in it, there's a New Testament Bible. And in it, there's a few other pieces of literature just to help you along your way. Once every month at the 11 o'clock service time, we teach a class called Connect. It just introduces you to our church, introduces you to what it means to be a Christian. We'd love for you to get, it's a no commitment necessary, but it's just an open class to anyone who visits our church. Amen? Love for you to get involved with those. And be diligent. Start walking this walk. I want to do a couple things. Don't leave me. It's only 12:11. Is that Rose Boyd? Is that you I see back? Could you come up here, please? This is Rose Boyd, who's been a missionary for many, many years, and we've supported her as a church. And this lady is awesome, y'all. Can you come up on stage with me? Where have you been in the world?
All over the world.
You've seen Chase and Christina over in Nepal?
I have.
You've been in Africa?
Oh, I lived there for a while. And been all over the place.
Amen. And she
helped me.
She got into distributing Bible study materials, Sunday school materials and stuff. Y'all developed this entire ministry, sending that all over the world.
Yes, we did. Yes, we. Now we've gone completely global now. So we've gone digital. So I'm working out of my home now. I don't have the office and warehouse anymore.
Now, two of your folks were with me Sunday night in the Global Outreach Rally.
Joe and Sheila Matthews, yes.
Hallelujah.
Today, really. They're coming to help.
She called me not long ago, and she said, Hans, I just want to tell you what's going on in my life. I am transitioning where I live. Now, she's not retired yet. She's still working. But she said, I've just purchased a home in Edenton, North Carolina. Yeah. And she said, I travel a lot, but when I'm here, I would love to help you with a church. I heard you're planning. Could I do that?
I heard that in Nepal.
It took someone going to Asia to figure out what we're doing. And I said, yeah, I think you can help us, and that would be greatly appreciated. So how many can say amen to that? Hallelujah.
Timing of the Lord is everything. Timing of the Lord. It's awesome.
So I want to stay here just for a moment. We're going to close, and I'm going to let Rose close in prayer. But I want to do something. If you're a college student in here today and you're going back to college this week, would you just lift your hand and let us see you in here? Oh, wow. Oh, come on. They're being sent out. This is being sent. Okay, I'm going to super embarrass you guys, but could y'all come on stage with me? Will y'all stay standing a little? You need to move. Remember, move and push the plate back. I want all the future college students just to come up here on stage with me, if you would. Come on, just come on up on stage and stand with us. We're just going to line up here. I'm only going to have you give a three-minute speech. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to try not to embarrass you, but we do want to pray for you. Wow! Wow! Okay. You're going to college? Okay, tell us who you are and where you're going.
I'm Corinna Wells. I'm going to University of West Georgia.
And you're majoring in nursing. And you're leaving a really handsome guy here, your new husband. You're leaving him just for a few months. So, congratulations on everything. Wedding, you know, her and Jeremy just got married this summer. So you got a lot of great things happening in your life, girl. Okay, who are you and where you're going?
My name is Christian Brothers, and I'm going to ECSU to study history.
History. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Who are you and where are you going?
I'm Austin Belch, and I'm going here to ECSU for aviation science.
Man, wonderful. Wonderful, dude. Who are you and where are you going?
I'm Josh Walton. I'm going to Old Dominion University for nursing.
Good for you, man. Good for you. All right, girl. Tell us who you are and where you're going.
I'm Kendall Gunther, and I'm going to Blue Ridge Bible College.
Yes. Kendall's going to Bible college, y'all. This is the Gunther's daughter. All right, who are you and where are you going? You've been in a while, girl.
Oh, hi, I'm Nikki Martin. I go to UCSU. I'm a senior, and I major in computer science.
Computer science. Lord bless you. Who are you and where are you going?
I'm Rachel, and I'm at Hampton. Yeah.
Hampton University?
Yeah.
We all need a good psychologist. I'm telling you, girl, bless you and best to you there. Amen. Could we stretch our hands toward these guys? And
all right. Praise the Lord. Just stretch your hands this way. Father, we just thank you for this generation that's going out in your name. We bless them for a successful school year. We pray protection over them. We pray, Holy Spirit, you fill them with discernment and anointing as they go forth in your name to apply themselves. I pray, oh Lord, that you would help them equip themselves for what you have for them to do. This is an opportunity. Preparation time, Lord, is never wasted time. So we thank you for this special time in their life to prepare themselves for the kingdom's sake. And for the good of the people that they will serve. Bless them, keep them well, bless their families, provide for them in every way, and we'll give you all the glory and all the praise. And all God's people said, amen.
Before we leave, how many of you are going into the public schools? You're a public school student, you're a teacher, you're an administrator, you're a bus driver, you're something. Let me see your hand. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for these guys and gals. And we pray, Lord, that you give them great favor as they go back into the school systems this year. I pray for protection over their lives. I pray for protection over the school properties and system. God, I pray for revival fire to fall. I pray for Holy Spirit anointing to go into each classroom, Lord. And we just ask for an amazing year, a great year for everyone involved. And God, we thank you for sending your presence into the school systems. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody can say amen. You're sent. You guys are sent. Right? Gonna be a light. Gonna be a witness. Amen. Love y'all. Y'all can be dismissed. I love you guys. We're gonna conclude right now. If you need special prayer, I want all of the altar workers to come forward and meet me at the altar. If you need special prayer, I want you to stay afterwards and please get with one of these guys. To the rest of you, I love you guys. Hallelujah. See you Wednesday night. We're having services Wednesday night of prayer and Bible study, 30 minutes each. It's a great summer experience. But anyhow, if you need prayer, come forward to prayer. The rest of you, God bless you. We love you. Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing, God loves you and he has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray, and you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us, and we love you dearly, and go follow God and go into the destiny that he has for your life.